pesmi, dobri, stari, srpsko-hrvatski, koji postoji samo za slovenački pogled. To je zapravo, ja mislim, jezik iz stare Jugoslavije, slovenačke nomenklature, birokratije u Beogradu. Tako da.
Bratstvo i jedinstvo je završeno, vreme je da se upoznamo, se pravi bratstvo i jedinstvo je končano, čast je da se spoznamo, jer mislim da je to demagogija.
Balkan Express. Vsako drugo sredo, točno o pol.
Od parlamenta do ulic na Kosovu. Poslušalstvo Radija Študent pozdravljamo v Balkan Expressu, kjer bomo premlevali aktualno politično dogajanje na Kosovu. Kaj se dogaja v najmlajši evropski državi v zadnjem času? Politična nestabilnost znotraj na novo izvoljenega parlamenta in tenzije na severu države, kjer že od osamosvojitve Kosova leta 2008 potekajo spori med srbsko manjšino in albansko večino. Najprej se bomo ukvarjali z vladajočo demokratsko stranko Kosova, politično stranko, katere predsednik je Hašim Tači, nekdanji voditelj osvobodilne vojske Kosova. Njegova stranka je na oblasti že od samorazglasitve države, zdaj pa se srečuje s težavo sestave koalicije, saj nobena od večjih strank ne želi biti njen del. Po treh mandatih iste vladajoče stranke se medetnično sovraštvo na severu države nadaljuje. Za izboljšanje tamkajšnjega stanja je bil aprila lani podpisan bruseljski sporazum, ki daje večjo avtonomijo srbski manjšini, vendar se zdi, da deluje v nasprotno smer. Oddajo bomo zaključili z mednarodnim vojaškim tribunalom, s katerim želi Evropska unija soditi vojnim zločincem iz časa vojne na Kosovu leta 1999. Med slednje je upleten tudi državni premije Tači. Za začetek nam Nate Tabak, urednik kosovskega časnika Priština Insight in član Balkanske novinarske raziskovalne zveze, oriše trenutno politično sliko in krizo vodilne demokratske stranke Kosova, ki je ponovno zmagala na junijskih predčasnih parlamentarnih volitvah.
The country, Kosovo, is basically kind of in a state of political flux right now. On June 8th, we had parliamentary elections. These were snap elections because the government was dissolved early. And the Prime Minister Hashim Thaci's Democratic Party of Kosovo, or known as the PDK, did come out with the most votes, but it only got, I think, about 30% of the vote. And basically what that means in a parliamentary system is that his party would need to form a coalition. And so what happened is that a few days later, a group of opposition parties came together and basically said, well, actually, we're going to, form a government of our own under this other leader, Ramush Haradinaj. And so it's created this sort of weird situation where these past few weeks, the elections hadn't been certified, and both sides are saying, we're the ones actually who should be asked to form the government. And so the president who does this has basically has asked the constitutional court for advice, because the constitution is a little bit vaguely written about this. And it basically says that the party or coalition that won the majority or has a majority should form the government. The problem is that no one won a majority in these elections. And so the question, at least from my standpoint, is whether you can say that a post-elections coalition can govern or can be asked to form the government. Right now, we're waiting for the Constitutional Court to give its opinion, for the president, who will then in turn act on that recommendation. And so what will either happen is that Thaci will be asked to form another government, and based on how things appear right now, he will not be able to form one, and then probably the opposition will then be asked to form one, and it probably will form a new government under Ramush Haradinaj. It's a very interesting time, because the PDK has had power since just before the independence of Kosovo, and a lot of people are excited to see things sort of shaken up. But it seems like it may be a number of weeks before we actually know for sure who will be running the next government.
Problem, s katerim se srečuje Tačijeva stranka, je predvsem v drugo uvrščeni demokratski ligi Kosovo, ki je takoj po volitvah ustanovila večinsko koalicijo z drugimi večjimi desno-sredinskimi strankami. Za taktično potezo so se odločile, da bi premijeju preprečile sestavo koalicije. Vendar ima ta ustavno pravico, da mu predsednica Atifete Jahjaga podeli 15-dnevni mandat za sestavo. To pravico mu je včeraj potrdilo ustavno sodišče. Kaj lahko Kosovo pričakuje v primeru, da Tačiju ne bo uspelo sestaviti koalicije, nam pove Agon Hamza, kosovski filozof.
However, what's going to happen is that the government constituted by the opposition will be the continuation of the old with the new names. That is to say, there won't be any structural change or any, let's put it in these liberal terms, any radical reform in the country. Because what we are witnessing now is just the replacement of elites instead of a structural or paradigmatic change in the political course of the country.
Kako pa delovanje ponovno izvoljene politične stranke ocenjujejo prebivalke in prebivalci Kosova, govori Tabak.
What did happen is that he did lose a lot of votes in kind of his in a number of his kind of more popular areas because there was some defections from his party and they went out and formed a splinter party. But I guess what you can say is maybe not that there has been much drop in support, but he just hasn't been able to get a lot of enthusiasm. And I think the part of the reason is that a lot of the promises he's made, like getting these steps toward EU integration, getting visa-free travel for the Schengen area, you know, this stuff hasn't really happened. And at the same time, the economy has not improved very dramatically. He likes to tout his economic record, but for ordinary people, there's been some growth in GDP, but you know, most people are unemployed. You know, average incomes are a few hundred euros a month. Most people rely on their families, you know, abroad to live. I mean, so it's not a very it's not a very good situation for most people.
Edina vidnejša stranka, ki se deklarira kot leva, je tretja uvrščena stranka Samoodločbe, ki sicer nasprotuje neoliberalnim ekonomskim praksam, a je njena politična usmerjenost nacionalistična. Kot že pravi njeno ime, nasprotuje tujim intervencijam v nacionalno gospodarstvo. O njenem delovanju smo vprašali Hamzo.
Economy and other social issues, they're on the left. The problem is that the problem with them is not only what they stand for, but the hope which they practically have killed. So they have occupied this position of the left, and as well as a nationalist position. So it's the first attempt of the left is to go to really crash the movement for self-determination and then create something new. However, lately we are witnessing their moderation, so to speak. Most likely they will be part of the new government, which is constituted by the center-right conservative parties. So they're breaking up every principle for which they stood. They're not even close to Syriza ideologically, as it were.
Od političnih tenzij v parlamentu k naraščanju medetničnih napetosti na severu države. V tem delu že od osamosvojitve potekajo spori med srbsko manjšino in albansko večino. Srbija še do danes ne priznava Kosova, vendar je le prišlo do nekaterih sprememb. Aprila lani je bil podpisan bruseljski sporazum, s katerim je srbski del prebivalstva dobil več moči do samoodločbe v kosovskih vladnih institucijah, obe državi pa je pripeljal bližje k evropski integraciji. Kako naj bi sporazum pripomogel k izboljšanju odnosov tam živečih prebivalcev v zadnjem letu, nam pove Tabak.
It's hard to say. I mean, I think on a political level, there's been enormous progress toward the normalization of relations. That, you know, last April you had this sort of big agreement between Belgrade and Pristina that basically allowed for northern Kosovo, which these Serb municipalities in northern Kosovo, which were operating as kind of under Serbia's authority, even though kind of outside its borders, had been operating for like basically since the end of the war like that. And this agreement basically said, no, you're going to be under Kosovo's laws and constitution, and you're going to come into the fold. And then these certain provisions made that they would have the assertive association of municipalities. But the short end of it is Serbia basically said, we're not going to accept independence, but we're giving up on the north. And, you know, the authorities in Pristina will run it. But at the same time, the regular people on the ground, this, you know, they basically have been strung along for, you know, the past decade and a half by a variety of, you know, prime ministers and other government officials in Serbia, getting lots of financial support, you know, basically encouraging them to sort of continue these sort of separatist lives. And then all of a sudden they sort of pulled out the rug from them. And so they're kind of pissed off at everyone. They don't trust the leaders in, you know, in Belgrade. They don't really trust the Albanian-led government. This is just talking about Serbs in the north. Serbs in the south are a somewhat different story. But I think with this issue on the bridge, it just is a reminder that you can have these big political agreements, but what it comes down to is, you know, the actual ordinary people who live there. And there's a lot of people who are not happy about the agreements that have been made. And then on the other side of that, the Albanians who protested, there's a lot of frustration on that side because they feel like a lot of concessions have been given to Serbs. They basically have this little special community in the north with a certain degree of autonomy. And at the same time, Kosovo hasn't gotten a lot out of these things, making these agreements with Belgrade.
Pred kratkim je na severu države v Mitrovici prišlo do novih izgredov. Albanski del prebivalstva se je nasilno odzval na postavljene barikade strani srbske manjšine. Hamza dogodek vidi kot posledico lanskoletnega sporazuma.
The problem with the latest events in the northern Kosovo is that they are just not only sporadic or events which caught us all by surprise. The point is that especially after the agreement of last Brussels agreement of last year, we will witness more and more these upheavals, these, so to speak, riots or demonstrations, which will by all means fortify the division between the northern part and the southern part of the town. This the latest demonstration was caused by the fact that the Republic of Serbia put some fences and a wall in the bridge, and people from the south reacted against it. So then you had the demonstration in which K4, EULEX special forces, Kosovo police forces, and all the rest of it got together, and they were even shooting the protesters with rubber bullets and water cannons and all the rest of it. So we will have more and more of this sort of unrest, so to speak, in the north, by which the division will be fortified, and eventually that part will separate from Kosovo and join Serbia, which will have this all the structural effect in the whole of the region. Just think about Macedonia, Bosnia, and all the rest of it, you know.
Sogovornika imata glede prihodnosti sporazuma nasprotna mnenja. Povedala sta nam, ali bo ta zagotavljanjem večje avtonomije srbske manjšine na severu države potiskal k federativni delitvi na etnonacionalne entitete, kot jih poznamo v Bosni in Hercegovini. Najprej tabak.
I don't think we're going to get into the same situation as Bosnia. I mean, the cases are different. I mean, you had Bosnia's sort of, you know, this constitution and date and stuff like that that created a situation where you could have this really powerful Serbian entity and kind of, that can obstruct things. This isn't quite the same. You know, the constitution is not going to get changed, I think, to allow these group of municipalities to have, like, executive authority over things. But they can sort of collectively create a sort of a community that's a bit more of this sort of separate thing. The thing that's sort of what's interesting about this is that a lot the politicians that have been elected with sort of the support of Belgrade are essentially allowing Serbia to have these sort of elected officials within the governing institutions of Kosovo. And it actually, in some ways, gives them, because they've basically agreed to say, hey, we're going to encourage Serbs to vote in these elections. Because they've agreed to do that, they have, in essence, given themselves more power over Kosovo internally than they ever had when they sort of ran this north in a de facto way.
Hamza meni drugače.
Yes, but with the April agreement in Brussels, practically we are going towards Bosnianization. We are having an ethnically based solution within Kosovo, which is dividing the country into two. Just think about their executive and legislative powers, competences of the so-called Association of Serbian Municipalities. You know, like it's like a small mini state within a strange state as Republic of Kosovo is. So you have like parallel two-fold system. And in this sense, the more this agreement is implemented, the more we will head towards partition. So the only good thing about this agreement is that it shouldn't be implemented.
Oba vidita problem na severu države, medtem ko se strinjata, da drugje po državi, predvsem med omenjenima skupinama, ne prihaja do sporov. Tabak.
The situation is very different because the Serbs in the south have basically integrated within Republic of Kosovo institutions. There had been members of parliament who were in coalition with Hashim Thaci. And it's not to say that they're like everybody was like holding hands and waving the flag of Kosovo. I don't think most Serbs are happy about there being an independent Kosovo, but they've come to accept the reality that, hey, there's this new state and we have to kind of live with it to survive. And part of it is that these communities in the south are not physically attached to Serbia proper. So they can't really get away with just saying, hey, kind of screw you guys and we're going to do our own thing. They have to sort of interact with these people on a daily basis. And so what you've had is, over the past decade, basically these communities have sort of just integrated a bit.
Aprila letos je prišlo do podpisa sporazuma med kosovsko vlado in EU, na podlagi katerega bodo najverjetne naslednje leto ustanovili mednarodni tribunal za sojenje vojnim zločincem. Gre za vojne zločince, ki so bili v času vojne na Kosovu leta 1999 člani osvobodilne vojske Kosova. Med njimi se zlahka najde premije Hashim Thaci, saj je bil na čelu organizacije in je povezan s preprodajo organov srbskih ujetnikov. Informacije o delovanju tribunala so zaenkrat zelo omejene in večinoma nedostopne javnosti. Medtem ko Tabak pravi, da je tribunal večinoma nezaželen strani kosovskih Albancev, saj naj bi OVK ter Tačija videli kot vojne heroje, je Hamza drugačnega mnenja.
Hashim Thaci is by no means a hero in this country. He could only be a hero of criminality and corruption and things like that. As for the tribunal, well, it's quite a dodgy and a weird situation. It's a tribunal constituted for the investigating and judging the guys who were responsible for the organ trafficking. However, the interesting thing, under quotation marks, in the sense that here you see their shortcomings of, again, neo-imperial structures by EU and NATO, is that this prosecutor who was investigating the case most likely didn't find anything regarding the organ trafficking. If you go yourself to in the northern Albania, in that part called where the Yellow House is located, I've been there. You know, like you see that it is quite a sci-fi idea, quite a sci-fi enterprise to come with the idea that you could have organ trafficking done in that area. It's like such a backward and a place that it's impossible to do any mere medical intervention. You know, further, it's interesting because you had K4 people, like Germans, I think, were there during the spring of 1999, waiting to get in Kosovo and all the rest of it. So I don't know, it's too dodgy, and I don't think it's going to be functional, or if it's going to get functional, it is going to shoot two or three people just to justify its existence, because there is nothing out of it.
Kosovo dobrih 6 let po samorazglasitvi neodvisnosti ostaja v politični krizi. Demokratska stranka Kosova je po odločitvi ustavnega sodišča dobila 15-dnevni rok, da se stavi vladno koalicijo. V nasprotnem primeru bo oblast prevzela na novo podpisana koalicija z Demokratsko ligo Kosova na čelu. Medtem ko se zdi, da se spori med srbskim in albanskim delom prebivalstva polegajo, tega ne moremo trditi za severni del države. Ali gre za posledico bruseljskega sporazuma ali nesposobnosti do zdaj vladajočih oblasti, bo postalo jasno v prihodnosti. Vsekakor pa zaenkrat še ostaja nejasno, kakšno vlogo bo v praksi odigral ustanovljen mednarodni tribunal in ali se bo na listi obtožencev znašel sam premier Tači. Balkan Express je pripravil Jakil.
Onaj specifični, dobri, stari, srpsko-hrvatski, koji postoji samo za slovenački pogled. To je zapravo, ja mislim, jezik iz stare Jugoslavije, slovenačke nomenklature, birokratije u Beogradu. Tako da.
Bratstvo i jedinstvo je završeno. Vreme je da se upoznamo, se pravi bratstvo i jedinstvo je končano, čast je da se spoznamo, ja mislim da je to demagogija.
Balkan Express. Vsako drugo sredo, točno opoldne.